standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU fourth quarter 2017 earnings conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'm here with Arturo Silva, our CFO. I will briefly describe SMU's results for the fourth quarter of 2017, as well as some other relevant items, and then Arturo will be happy to take your questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides, we'll be going through the presentation that I sent out to the distribution list this morning. It is also available in the Investor Relations section of our website, www.smu.cl, in the Financial Information section. If it doesn't pop up right away, try selecting the year and then the quarter. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today, so just a reminder to please take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number two of our presentation. We have a lot of information to share today. We'll try to keep things as short as possible. And as always, please feel free to contact us anytime with your questions. On slide number three, we have a long explanation that is very important, but that I will try to summarize. As most of you know, last year in November, we signed a binding agreement to sell our construction material subsidiary, Construmart. Consequently, IFRS requires us to present the construction material segment as held for sale, which has implications for the comparability of the numbers between 2017 and previous periods. The income statement for the full year and fourth quarter 2016 was restated, so it is comparable with the same periods of 2017. Construmart is no longer consolidated on a line-by-line basis, and instead it is consolidated in a single line, profit from discontinued operations, which means, for example, that revenue does not include Construmart's revenue. This also means that we had to recalculate the P&L account for the first 9 months of the year, which is why if you take the full year 2017 numbers and subtract the fourth quarter numbers, you won't get the numbers we reported for the first 9 months of the year. The balance sheet as of December 31st, 2016 was not restated, and therefore it is not comparable with the balance sheet as of December 31st, 2017. In 2017, Construmart is consolidated in a single line in current assets and in current liabilities. In our financial statement analysis, or análisis racional, that we published on Tuesday, we tried to outline the effects on the comparison. Also, on our website, every quarter we upload an Excel spreadsheet with the main financial and operating indicators. And this quarter, that file includes an unofficial pro forma balance sheet as of December 31st, 2016 that is comparable to the December 2017 balance sheet. So hopefully that will be helpful for some of you. The cash flow statement for 2016 was also not restated and is therefore not comparable to 2017. I hope this is clear. Sorry to spend so much time on this, but otherwise we may get a bunch of phone calls asking why our revenue fell 10% year over year. Again, feel free to contact us if any of this isn't clear. And so we can now move on to the numbers. On slide number four, we have revenues. Again, this does not include Construmart's revenues. Consolidated revenue now just includes food retail business. Revenue for the full year 2017 amounted to 2,258 billion pesos, an increase of 1.6% with respect to 2016. In the fourth quarter, revenues were flat, but we have achieved sustained growth in gross margin. In the year, we gained 70 basis points, growing from 27.5% to 28.2%. And in the fourth quarter, we gained 90 basis points, growing from 27.5% to 28.4%. On the next slide, we have a breakdown of revenue growth by format, comparing 2016 to 2017. As you can see on the graph, the most important change year over year comes from our Unimark supermarkets, which account for approximately 70% of revenue. Revenue for that format grew 2.3% in 2017. We also had a positive impact from our food retail operations in Peru, which are a small part of our total business. Around 2% of total revenue comes from Peru, but have had significant revenue growth in the last five quarters, starting in the fourth quarter of 2016. For the full year 2017, we saw revenue growth of 12.8% in Peru. This growth is related to the implementation of a new strategy, taking advantage of synergies with our Chilean operations, which has also allowed us to improve gross margin. The biggest negative impact in 2017 comes from our cash and carry segment, where revenue decreased 0.7% in the year. However, that decrease took place in the first half of the year and is explained by the transition in the value proposition of our Mayorista 10 stores. We started to see positive results during the third quarter, and that continued in the fourth quarter when we saw revenue growth of 0.5%. On the next slide, we have same-store sales and sales per square meter performance for the food retail segment. These indicators basically reflect the same trends that we've been seeing in revenues. Overall growth of 1.7% in same-store sales for the year 2017, which is lower than we've seen in recent years, in line with industry performance. Fourth quarter same-store sales growth was 0.4%. Similarly, Unimarc's performance in the fourth quarter was well below the average for the year. On the other hand, here you can again see the improvement in Mayorista 10. In Peru, same-store sales in the fourth quarter were lower than in the year because of a higher comparison base, as the turnaround in Peru's sales performance began with double-digit growth in the fourth quarter of 2016. Sales per square meter continued to grow, reaching an average across all food retail formats in both Chile and Peru of 306,000 pesos per month for the full year 2017. On slide number 7, we have operating expenses, defined as distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. In both graphs, you can see that as a percentage of revenues, OPEX has remained fairly stable in the 21 to 22% range. In 2017 versus 2016, we had a 30 basis point increase, and in the fourth quarter, we had a 20 basis point increase. Distribution expenses grew mainly as a result of the increase in our centralized distribution. The graph at the bottom right shows that in 2017, 45.1% of our revenue came from products that went through our distribution centers, higher than the 42.5% we achieved in 2016. The rest of the products were delivered directly by suppliers to our stores. Increasing the rate of centralized distribution is one of the initiatives in our strategic plan. We charge our suppliers a fee for providing these logistics services, and that fee is reflected in gross profit. With respect to administrative expenses, we had an increase of 3.1% in the year, mainly explained by personnel expenses, which increased due to inflation adjustments and a higher minimum wage, and also lease expenses. In the fourth quarter, personnel expenses actually decreased slightly as a result of lower average headcount during the period. On slide 8, we have our EBITDA, which, again, only reflects the food retail business. EBITDA in 2017 amounted to 142 billion pesos, an 8.3% increase with respect to 2016. And EBITDA margin grew 40 basis points from 5.9% in 2016 to 6.3% in 2017, resulting from the 70 basis point gain in gross profit, partially offset by the 30 basis point increase in operating expenses as a percentage of revenue. In the fourth quarter, EBITDA grew 11.7% to 43.6 billion pesos, and EBITDA margin increased 80 basis points to 7.2%. On slide number 9, we have net income, which more than doubled in 2017 versus 2016, for a total of 27.6 billion pesos. In the fourth quarter, net income increased more than tenfold, from 1.4 billion to 18.3 billion. In both cases, we had improvements in both operating and non-operating income. We've already covered the operating improvements. In non-operating income, there were a few different positive effects, the most important of which were lower inflation in 2017, which meant a lower loss on inflation index liabilities, and a decrease in our interest expense in the period as a result of the debt we've paid down or refinanced during the year. These positive effects were partly offset in the full year by a lower gain on foreign currency translation differences in 2017, because this year we had significantly less exposure to the dollar. We paid down dollar-denominated debt and hedged our international bonds. In the fourth quarter, we had the opposite effect from foreign currency translation, because in the fourth quarter of 2016, the peso depreciated, so we had a foreign currency translation loss. In addition, in November of 2017, following our capital increase, we decided to do a partial redemption of our international bond, and as such, we also decided to modify the foreign currency hedge from the cross-currency swap we had in place at that time, which matured in 2020 along with the bond, to forwards in accordance with the redemption date. While we were in the process of unwinding the cross-currency swap and entering into the forwards, we had some FX exposure, and the peso appreciated at that time, giving rise to a gain. The combination of better operating and non-operating results led, naturally, to higher pre-tax income, and as a result, we also had a higher income tax expense in 2017. But the positive effect on net income was still quite significant. Finally, just a reminder that although we recognize the higher income tax expense for P&L purposes, this is not a cash effect because of our accumulated tax losses. On slide 10, we have a summary of some of our recent highlights. I'll start with an update on Plan CIMA, which is our strategic plan for the 2017 to 2019 period. The plan has six strategic pillars, including customer experience, operating efficiency, organizational excellence, sustainability, technological development, and financial strengthening. With respect to customer experience, one of our most important initiatives is upgrading a group of our Unimark supermarkets. Between October of last year and January of this year, we re-inaugurated the first eight stores, and we will be re-inaugurating two more in the next couple of weeks. This will complete the first group of 10 stores that we started working on last year. This year, we plan to upgrade 30 stores. Although it has only been a few months since the first stores were re-inaugurated, the preliminary results have generally been positive, both in terms of sales and margins. With respect to operating efficiency, one of the main initiatives is increasing our centralized distribution so we can optimize our inventory management. As I mentioned before, we are at a centralization rate of 45.1% for the full year 2017. In previous quarters, we have also mentioned the training program that we are rolling out in order to standardize key in-store processes. We are doing this by groups of stores, and the first group of 60 stores was completed in December. This year, we've started on the next group of 148 Unimark stores. With respect to the sale of Konstrumart that we announced in November, in the last couple of months, the due diligence review was successfully completed and the share purchase agreement has been signed. The purchase price was defined as 49.5 billion pesos, less net financial debt and other habitual adjustments. We are now waiting for approval from the Chilean antitrust authorities, which is the final step in this process. This asset has been available for sale since 2013 as it lacks synergies with our core food retail business. Should this transaction be completed, it will allow us to focus on our core business and to reduce debt. In November, we completed a capital increase for approximately $150 million, and in January of this year, we completed an additional capital increase for approximately $122 million. The bulk of these proceeds are going to prepay our international bond, as described on the next slide. On February 9, 2018, we carried out a partial redemption of our international bond. This bond was originally placed in February 2013 for a total capital amount of $300 million, and it matures in February 2020. The partial redemption was for a total capital amount of $120 million. This was a partial redemption as stipulated in the indenture, not a tender offer. The prepayment cost was approximately 2%, and payment was made using the proceeds of the capital increase carried out in November 2017. On March 2, 2018, we notified our international bondholders that on April 2, 2018, we will carry out an additional partial redemption for a total capital amount of $80 million, as well as the applicable prepayment cost, which is the same 2%. The new partial redemption will be made using the proceeds from the capital increase carried out in January 2018. Following the new partial redemption, the outstanding capital amount of the international bond will be $100 million, maturing in February 2020. We've continued to have good news from credit rating agencies in recent months, following the progress we've made in terms of operating results and also the actions we have taken to strengthen our financial position. On slide 12, we have a summary. Following an upgrade to BBB- by Humphreys in November, in January of this year, both Feller Rate and ICR upgraded our rating to BBB-, and as a result, we now have investment grade ratings with all three of our local rating agencies. In addition, Humphreys upgraded our rating another notch to BBB in February, following the January capital increase. With respect to international ratings, S&P upgraded our rating to B in November, following the capital increase. And earlier this week, Moody's changed the outlook on our B3 rating from stable to positive. We still have more work to do in order to optimize our capital structure and continue to reduce interest expense, and we hope that the rating upgrades combined with our increasingly healthy financial position will help give the company access to improved refinancing conditions. On slide 13, you can see how the composition of our debt has changed since the end of last year as a result of the IPO in January, hedge of our international bond in March, and local bond placements in April and September. The numbers are not 100% comparable between 2017 and 2016 because the 2016 figures include Klimstermark's debt, but the difference is not particularly significant and the conclusions are the same. We had total debt as of December 31st, 2017 of approximately 800 billion pesos, which is approximately $1.3 billion. That total number includes approximately 250 billion pesos, or $400 million, in financial leases, which are mostly store rental agreements that qualify as financial leases under IFRS. For purposes of showing the breakdown of our financial debt, we've excluded them here in the pie charts on the left, but they are included in the net debt to EBITDA calculation on the right in order to provide a more conservative figure. The capital increases in bond placements have enabled us to repay some of our most expensive debt, which will generate savings in interest expense going forward. In the pie charts at the top of the slide, you can see that we've paid off all of our related party debt. At the bottom of the slide, you can see that we have significantly reduced our U.S. dollar denominated debt through paying down debt and by hedging the international bonds. As of December 31st, 2017, our financial debt excluding leases only includes about 1.6 billion pesos in dollar denominated debt, which is mainly related to letters of credit. On the bottom right, you can see that we have reduced net debt to EBITDA from 8.1 times at the end of 2016 to 6.6 times at the end of 2016, to 4.8 times at the end of 2017. We also added a pro forma figure to reflect the impact of the January capital increase on our net debt, which, as you can see, brings us down from 4.8 times to 4.3 times. We are continuing to look for ways to optimize our capital structure and reduce our interest expense. On slide 14, we have a debt maturity profile, including a comparison of what this will look like after the second bond redemption in April. As you can see, the maturities even out considerably when we reduce the 2020 maturities by $200 million, equivalent to about 120 billion pesos. Finally, on slide number 15, we have an overview of what's next in 2018. In Unimark, the main initiatives include continuing to make progress with the store upgrade plan and standardizing processes in order to facilitate a better customer experience. In Mayorista 10, we will continue to fine-tune our value proposition in order to meet the needs of final customers as well as mom and pops, and strive to achieve a cost structure that allows us to offer more attractive prices. In AOV, our focus is on strengthening the relationship with our mom and pop customers and offering them new benefits through our loyalty program, Club Mayorista AOV. In OK Market, we are moving forward with new store openings and improving the assortment of products we carry. And with respect to e-commerce, we'll be implementing the new technological platform for telemedicals and launching unimark.cl. At the same time, we will continue to strive to improve our productivity and operating efficiency on an ongoing basis. The organization as a whole must continue to focus on our customers, especially with regards to their purchase experience. And of course, we will maintain our discipline regarding operating expenses and strive to increase productivity. In line with this goal, in January, we carried out a reduction in force of 1,800 employees, affecting all formats as well as the back office operations. This restructuring plan was carried out following a thorough analysis of the organization. We will be recognizing a one-time non-operating expense of approximately 8 billion pesos in the first quarter of this year. We expect this one-time expense to offset the savings in personnel expenses during the first half of this year, and we should start to actually see net savings in the second half of the year. Finally, we are projecting capital expenditures of approximately $40 billion this year, mainly going towards store upgrades as well as store openings and maintenance. Thank you very much for listening. If there are any questions, Arthur will be happy to take them now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. We currently have no callers in the queue. Our first question comes from Jamie Bessa of Southern Cross Group.
Hello? Hi, Caroline. Thanks for the presentation. My question relates specifically to what's the expected impact on the operational initiatives that have been mentioned recently in the press, specifically speaking the plan for reduction of headcount that was that appeared in a lot, I think it was on Monday on the press. If you could comment on that, it would be helpful. Thanks.
Hi. The restructuring plan was implemented in January 15th, and the cost of this plan was 8 billion pesos. And the savings associated with this initiative is 1.2 billion pesos per month. And for the total savings in this year will be 14 billion pesos, because in January we didn't reach savings because it was implemented the plan. And in the next year, we will have a full savings reaching 15 billion pesos per year. The payback is more or less, as Caroline mentioned, 6-7 months for this restructuring plan.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Rita Spitz of William Blair.
Hello, could you please talk a little bit more about the composition of what's going on in sales inflation versus unit volume growth and the outlook for that as the year unfolds? Thank you.
Now, the food inflation last year was close to 2%, and our growth in Unimar was 2.3%. Therefore, the real growth was 0.3%. We're expecting for this year. In fact, in January and February, the food inflation in Chile was, in average, 3.3% 12 months. Increasing this aspect, and finally, this higher number will produce will affect positively the nominal growth in our sales and the in the industry as well.
Thanks.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star and then one. We currently have no questioners in the queue. We have a follow-up question from Rita Spitz.
Again, on the sales growth outlook, could you talk about when you're doing the remodel and renovation, does that impact the sales significantly, and how do you manage that to try to minimize the disruption?
Yeah, our experience in the pilots was more than 15% growth, more than the rest of the stores. In our remodeling plan in 2017, we had positive effect in the first month, growing more than the rest of the stores, and also improving our gross margin. That was another positive effect, because we increased the percentage of perishables in the total assortment of the store, improving the average margin and also the EBITDA margin in those stores.
But during the construction change, how long is the store? How long does it take to upgrade the store?
3 months in average.
3 months, okay.
And
thank
the store
you.
But the store is keep open, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Carolyn McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Feel free to contact us with any questions, and otherwise, we hope to talk to you next quarter. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.